on the phone. I can't believe this. On a Thursday in near the end of February, I have the one and only Ricky Ross from Deacon Blue. Hello, Ricky. How are you?
Hi, Ian. I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. You sound like you've been doing a lot of talking today.
Well, I have. Yeah, the last couple of days, I've been doing a lot of talking. Yeah.
That's what promotion's all about, unfortunately, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is.
So the new album, City of Love, that's the title track we just played. It's coming out not next week, the week after.
March the 6th, yes.
Yes. What was the inspiration for this album?
You know, there's a very simple inspiration, which was a story that has been around in Glasgow for a long time, which is in the heart of the city, which is the Gorbals, right in the middle of Glasgow.
Yeah.
Old community. And in that place is St. Francis Church. And within St. Francis Church are the bones, maybe the bones of St. Valentine.
Oh, wow.
And the idea always kind of intrigued me, you know, but the fact that these things were there. Now, of course, we don't know whose bones they are. Some pilgrim in the 1400s went off and bought something in Istanbul and came back with them, you know.
Yeah.
But and they've ended up something's ended up there. But the point about it is, I just kind of liked the idea of it. It kind of reversed the kind of mythology of Glasgow in its head as being a bit of a heavy place and a, you know, dark, scary place, to a city of love. And then it turned out, in fact, that I discovered that Lorraine, my wife, who's also in Deacon Blue, her parents were married in the Gorbals, and they were married in St. Francis Church.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like a nice little kind of story.
That is. I mean, I've listened to the album, and it seems like every song tells a story, but there is, you can hear it like a theme of love and relationship going through all the songs.
Yeah. Well, I think what happens when you make a record is obviously something happens, and you kind of work out how these songs are going to sort of kind of complement each other.
Yeah.
And I guess that was what was working. And sometimes when the songs didn't kind of fit into that that world, then we sort of, you know, we just rejected them and, you know, wrote a lot of songs as usual and just tried to end up with ones that really felt that they belonged on this overarching theme of the city of love.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it bookends on these themes. It sort of starts off with the city and it ends up with this little memoir of mine, a little kind of story of growing up and falling in and out of love and rejection. Called On, it's a little dialogue with myself on love, really. And it's mainly spoken word as well, which is, people might kind of be surprised at. But I think it kind of makes the whole thing sit as a little package.
Well, that last song, it's about 7 minutes long. And I looked at it, I thought, oh, wow, it's 7 minutes long. And I'm still used to 3.5 minute song. And I put it on. And do you know what? That 7 minutes went like two. Because
oh, wow.
it draws you in. Because you're talking and singing, it just draws you straight into the song, and you think, wow, what a great end to the album.
Yeah, well, it just felt like it was, we were going to do record the record in about the summer of 20, or certainly some point in 2018.
Yeah.
We had a lot of songs written, including City of Love and Hit Me Where It Hurts and these tracks. And then it didn't, first of all, it wasn't likely to come out that quickly. We didn't really think we wanted to make a record to come out until 2020. So we thought, well, let's just wait and see what happens. And then we'd gone off on tour again, and we came back and started writing again. And Lorraine always said to me that the songs that kind of came together on that last stretch were the ones that really kind of started to make the whole thing make sense. And
yeah,
one of these ones, and the final song, odd enough, was the song On Love, the song at the end. And I think that there was definitely a sense of which, when we got that, we thought, ah, like, that's it, we've kind of nailed something here, in the way of kind of, you know, finishing off the record.
Yeah, it does. It finishes off beautifully. I really, listening to it today, I didn't really grasp it was sort of about relationships and stuff, probably until the track In Our Room. And that's where,
yeah,
I thought, hang on a minute, this is about relationships. This is Ricky talking about love and stuff, and it's just such a lovely album.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, In Our Room is a song that I think, like, you know, it's just about falling, you know, it's when you fall in love with someone, and when you get together with someone, the rest of the world just doesn't matter. You shut the door on it. It doesn't matter where you are.
They fade away.
You know, you've got your little gang hut, whatever it is, the two of you.
Yeah.
It could be a really cheap kind of place. But it's paradise because you've just kind of you've excluded everyone else.
Yeah.
And all you've got is your thoughts and your dreams. And in our case, it was a, you know, I think a record player.
Shut the door, turn the music up. That was it. Yeah.
Exactly.
But your sound is your voice and Lorraine's voice. Mm. That is the Deacon Blue sound. Your harmonies together. You can put the song one of your songs on halfway. You go, that's Deacon Blue. That is. I know that. You can tell that.
I think it is, and it's funny because I think I was saying this to someone the other day that people say, well, what is Deacon Blue? I said, well, actually, it's interesting because I do make records on my own, and I do gigs on my own.
Yeah.
And they're definitely not Deacon Blue gigs, and they're definitely not Deacon Blue albums. You know, they're my records.
Yeah.
And there's something about the fact of all of us come together to make a sound which is our sound. And it doesn't... You kind of go in the room, and we start, and it sounds like us. It's funny, you know?
I know.
I do a little bit of radio up here, and I interviewed the Swedish sisters, the Söderberg sisters, who are First Aid Kit, and I remember they came and did a session for us, and they didn't do any warm up. They just started singing like the harmonies. I went, "Wow!" It's like immediately, you know.
It's the sibling the thing about the siblings, isn't it? Their harmonies are just
like people have a sound or they don't have a sound.
Yeah.
You know, we have a sound, and I guess now you know all that time together, it's identifiable as us.
I know. I'm in a band. You do radio in Scotland. I'm in a band in London. And when we get together, our sound is our sound. That is you know, from the first note we strike up, even though we're a covers band, it's our sound.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we put it across. Talking of covers, out of all of the songs you did, what made you do What'd You Get When You Fall in Love? I'll Never Fall in Love Again. That was it.
It was really a slight accident because it started with us rehearsing for a tour, which was for the album When the World Knows Your Name, was our second record.
And yeah.
There's a song on it called Silhouette, which is in F. And it has a kind of little fade-out thing. And live, it kind of just didn't quite have an ending. And we were trying to end it and thinking, what do we do? And we started, I always remember we started going into it for Jim, maybe start playing it, and we start singing it. And how does that song go? We couldn't remember. And one of our crew guys said, go and find, who did that? What was it with, like, Bobby Gentry? Go and find, because this is like 1989. You know?
Yeah, there's no Spotify to relate to there, was it?
So we had to go and try and find a record of Dusty's, what was it? It was Bobby Gentry, I think, the version that we found, that we remembered. So anyway, we started doing it live, and then we started also covering The Look of Love by Bacharach and Davis, so two songs.
Two beautiful
songs.
And
then Lorraine took ill in the middle of a tour in Germany in 1990, and we were thinking about, like, we couldn't really go out on the road because we had to cancel a tour, and we had some sort of, for us, which was, you know, unusual to have some sort of time.
Yeah.
And Jim, our cable producer, sort of said, you know, why don't we just go and do that Bacharach and David thing we were almost talking about doing an EP? So we had these two songs, and we started going in and then we thought, what else do we? We don't know any other ones. We had to kind of start learning some other ones, and we basically our record company just kind of went, oh, this is like a, you know, this is obviously them just indulging themselves. We'll allow them to go and do it, but they let us do it, and we didn't pay much attention. We just said, look, we'll just put it out as an EP, and for whatever reason, radio just picked up on I'll Never Fall in Love Again and played it out with, you know, just forever.
So it was a great,
biggest ever hit single, really.
It was a great song. Not that any of your others were anything less than great, but it was a great version of that song. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, no, it was a nice moment for us.
Oh yeah, definitely. So let's just go back to the beginning before we finish off with the tour and stuff. You formed in 1985 or around then.
Well, we certainly, you know, like Dougie and I probably met in 85, and we certainly the very first sort of incarnation of Deacon Blue was in 85, and probably by the time that 86, the turn of the year in 86, probably was when most of people sort of started to come in and around the band.
Yeah.
That we became the band, really.
And did you decide to have a girl singer to come in, or
no? We had a guy. We hadn't anyone actually playing with us who did much harmony. And an engineer said, "Do you know any girl singer?" For some reason, girl singers. And we said, "Yeah, we do know. We know this. My pal's little sister. She's called Lorraine, and we can got in touch with her and say, would you come over?" And with another girl that she used to sing with, who, fun enough, I was in a band with years before, we knew them both. And then they came and did something for us. And then the next time, Mary, the other girl, couldn't make it. Lorraine came.
Yeah.
And then Lorraine was still in a band, and we went out and did some gigs soon after we got a record deal. And Lorraine gone on holiday, so we asked another. I can't even remember. There was another girl called Carol who sometimes came out with us. And eventually, it was Lorraine that was the one that we wanted to be in the band. And
yeah.
And when she was on stage with us, it just made a huge difference. It was just like, you know, she did all the things that I didn't do, you know, and she was just a kind of vibe, you know. She's, I mean, apart from anything else, she was kind of energy.
Wow.
So she became, so that year, I guess, 86, 87, 86.
And then you just took off, really, didn't you? Because the first album, Raintown, was 87.
Yeah.
And that's 2 years from forming. That's just awesome.
Well, it was, you know, we kind of had a, you know, I think all of us had probably been in projects which hadn't happened before. Maybe Doogie not so much, but all of us had been in bands where we kind of just thought, you know, it wasn't quite right for us. And I think when we got to this point,
yeah,
and I got to a point where I was writing the songs, I really were, you know, really songs I knew I was hitting something that I hadn't said before, that I was kind of trying to write about something that I was getting right for once. Then I think that these all things came together, you know, at that point. You get the right songs, you get the right people, and
just gels.
We just got the right producer, and you know, we made that first record, and it was a joy to make, and I think that's why probably people still listen to that record.
The first two albums are ingrained, sort of. The songs off of there are sort of ingrained on most people's souls, including mine. are you going to be knocking out some of the classics as well as the new stuff on tour?
I mean, we certainly. I mean, if we always do, you know, on tours, we'll always play, you know, a variety of these old songs, and because they're. You know, that's a really important thing to do. It's important to be there for people who were there for you. But also the songs are so much part of us, you know.
It's yes.
difficult to imagine doing a show without them, really.
I know. Because we've had a couple of little singles out, but, you know, they're our songs. If anybody's listened to them and downloaded them, that's nice, but they're our songs, and they become part of you and part of your history. I mean, every song you write, every song of yours that's been a hit has been a story. Hasn't it? Let's face it. From Dignity, Chocolate Girl, they're all stories. You can hear, you know, you could take what you've written and put them in a book, and people would still read it and go, yeah, that is definitely a story.
Well, that's nice if it happens. I mean, sometimes it's difficult to. Sometimes you just get kind of points where you don't know where to start, or you have a story in your head and you want to tell it in a song, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
I'm kind of going through it at the moment with something I'm trying to work on for future, sometimes it's harder, and then suddenly it just kind of dawns on you, there's a better way to tell the story. So you sometimes have to carry these stories a long time, and then they just go, right, okay, I know how to do that.
All falls into place. So let's go back. The album comes out March the 6th. It's called City of Love. Single City of Love's already out, and the new single that we're playing, Hit Me Where It Hurts, is coming out. Well, it's out now. It came out February the 14th, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's an 11-track album, which is absolutely brilliant. And you've got to download. You can pre-order it as well. You can go to deaconblue.com, if I'm not mistaken, pre-order it.
That's absolutely right, Mike. Yes.
I'm getting good at this. and apart from the odd festival you're doing in the summer, the Deacon Blue Cities of Love official tour kicks off in Germany on the 24th of October, and you actually come back in the 28th of October to Perth, and you're in Southend the 24th of November.
We are, yeah.
Good old Southend. But you are doing, if anyone wants to go up to London, you're doing the Royal Albert Hall on November the 11th.
Yeah, looking forward to all of that, yeah.
That's the day before my girlfriend's birthday. if you'd have been doing the 12th of November, I'd be begging you for tickets. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Ricky. It really has.
And thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, no. That's a pleasure. Good luck with the tour. Have a great tour as well, and have a great festival season.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having us, and thank you for playing the music.
Oh, no, always a pleasure, always. It's never a chore with your stuff. It's beautiful, beautiful. And good luck with the album, and hopefully I'll speak to you again very, very soon.
Thank you.
I'm going to play out now with my favourite track off of the album, which is Keeping the Faith Alive, which is really quite rocky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Don't get offended, but it's very Arctic Monkeys esque with the music. I think that's what grabbed me on that one. It's a bit different to the usual Deacon Blue sound, but it nevertheless is a great track, and I'm going to share that with everybody now, I think.
Thank you.
Because I'm feeling that kind of way. Take care, Ricky. God bless.
Thank you, Ian. Cheers.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Everything is shaking, don't know what to believe. I feel the ground shifting under my feet. There's an ill wind brewing, and it's scheduled to arrive. But I'm keeping my faith alive. I listen to my children, look into their eyes, to the stories, how they get wrong from right. I don't listen to political junkies and all that shuck and jive. I'm keeping my faith alive. I'm keeping my faith alive. Sometimes I feel I'm running from the light. Everyone's gambling on a champion just to watch him take a dive. I'm keeping my faith alive. I'm keeping my faith alive.
phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews,